Welcome to the Calvary Baltimore Sermon Podcast with our senior pastor, Josh Plantholt. So glad you could join us today. Calvary is located in the White Marsh area just outside Baltimore. If you're nearby, come join us. For location, service times, and live stream, go to our website at calvarychapelbaltimore.org. And now, here's this week's teaching.
So this is my first teaching as the senior pastor here on Easter, kind of a big one. It's a regular Sunday to me. I hate to break, you know, it's the Lord's Day. And every week I celebrate his resurrection, so, you know. But the Easter message, I just kept thinking, if we take it for what it is offensive. You see, our culture has taken Easter and has made it about bunnies and candy and springtime. And believe me, I like all those things. But when in reality, Easter is about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is. You see, all religions, all belief systems, all thought should be equally protected under the law. Like, you should have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. If you think the moon is made of cheese and the earth is shaped like a donut, go for it. You do you. But that does not mean that all religions and all belief systems and all thoughts have equal validity or truth in them. And this is the offense of the gospel. Jesus isn't one God among many. He came as the God, the way. And guys, if Jesus rose from the grave, then everything he said was truth. Meaning when Jesus said there is no other way to the Father, to heaven, except through him, then there's no other way. There's no other way to heaven. Like you can be a very kind and loving atheist and a loving Muslim and a Buddhist, but if Jesus rose from the grave, apart from faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation, is eternal death. That's the offense of Easter. Because the guy who rose from the grave said that. That's what he said. And so this leaves us with one conclusion today. Either Jesus is a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. That's where we have to come to. And if Jesus rose from the dead as hundreds of people saw him resurrected, then everything else he said was true. And listen, the Bible claims hundreds of people saw him resurrected. And if that was a lie and Jesus' disciples made all this up, wouldn't the early church have died and fizzled out pretty quick? But hundreds of people did see him resurrect. And his message advanced throughout the whole globe. And many of these converts who saw him resurrected kept this till death. They were brutally murdered for this. And they claimed with their dying breaths, I saw him. I saw him, and so did 399 other of my brothers and sisters. We saw him. And they died for these truths. And like Muhammad is dead, and when he died, he stayed dead. And Buddha is dead. And when he died, he stayed dead. No one else has provided atonement for the sins of others, and no one else has overcome death but one, Jesus Christ. And listen, everyone has a right to their own belief systems, and no one should be persecuted for this. Like, our country was founded on this idea. So I love American history. Thomas Jefferson said, freedom is the right to choose, the right to create for oneself, the alternative of choice. Without the possibility of choice and the exercise of choice, a man is not a man, but a member, an instrument, a thing. And boy, we've departed from that recently, haven't we, as a culture? But, and again, so our country was founded on this. So we have a societal and a legal right to believe whatever we want to believe. But if Jesus rose from the tomb, as he did, then there is only one right belief system. Hence, the Easter message is offensive. This story, Easter declares that there is one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is risen. And this is the good news of great joy. And so us Christians, we have the truth. It's not pompous to know the truth.
You have the truth, and you do not need to go wandering through life trying to find it. You do not need to wake up and go, what's the meaning to all this? You know, it's Christ. The guy who raised from the dead, the only guy you raised from the dead, Christ. We know the way, we know the truth, and we know the life, and his name is Jesus, and he has made himself known to us. Revelations 1:13 says, and the Lord is in the midst of his church right now. Where two or three are gathered, he is in their midst. Is Christ here with us? Yes, he is. And is that pompous to say? To those who don't believe, it sure is. But those who believe in the resurrected Christ, this is truth. This is truth. So let's get into this story of our risen Lord today. You ready? Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Jesus was crucified, and now it's the third day. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And this tomb was a hole in the earth or a mountain, and it is being guarded by several Roman soldiers who are the elite fighting force of the globe. And behold, verse 2, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And so the Marys get to the tomb of Christ, and they get there, and a great earthquake happens. And then an angel descends from heaven. He rolls back this massive stone. Jesus is already gone. And he rolls back this massive stone in front of the entrance of the tomb of Christ, and he sits on it, which I just love that picture, and we'll get into why in a second. Verse 3, and his appearance, the angel, was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. God, I can't wait to be in heaven, right? Can we just, oh man, sorry. Verse 4, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. And you have to be asking, you have to understand what verse 4 is saying here. Here is the world's elite fighting force, and they're passing out like dead men before an angel sitting on a rock. Now, to put this into even more incredible terms, we're told in Matthew 27 that the stone that this angel rolled away had the seal of Rome on it. And to break the seal of Rome, if you were not the one that was supposed to break it, was punishable by death. So the angel just committed a capital crime, a crime punishable by death, before a group of essentially Delta Force, of the world's elite fighting men. And the angel is so unconcerned with the might of the world, he takes a sit to deliver his message. Like, he doesn't even draw his sword for battle. He just sits down like, what are you going to do about it, right? And he, in all of his brilliance, like a Tesla coil with the appearance of lightning emanating from him, he sits down on the rolled away stone, completely unthreatened by the might of the world. And the soldiers see this and just pass out. Verse 5. And then the angel looks at the women, did you know there's humor in scripture? Like, you notice the soldiers are passing out and the women are fine. And he looks at the girls, hey girls, verse 5. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. Leave a message after the beep. Beep. Look what pops in my head. For he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Essentially, come and look at this. Look at the evidence, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. Then they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And here they are so full of emotion. They don't know whether they should laugh or they should cry. They're just so overwhelmed. And you have to remember, their whole life was wrapped up in Christ for 3 years. And as short as a week ago, they marched into the temple with tens of thousands of people applauding him. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it all seemed so right, didn't it? And then within a few days, he's murdered. And he's hanging on a tree and he's arrested and he's rushed through the court systems. And their brothers, one betrayed Jesus, one remained faithful, one denied him three times, and the nine other fled like cowards. And today they come to the tomb to weep in front of a massive stone guarded by soldiers. And the thought is maybe they brought ointments to rub on his body so the smell of decay didn't come out of the tomb. Like they thought he was dead. And then what does the angel say? He is alive. That everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said, everything Jesus built, in an instant they realized it wasn't all over. It was just the beginning. That everything Jesus said was true. And so they run with fear and joy to tell their brothers that Jesus is alive. And before we read verses 9 and 10, what did the angel say about Jesus? He is risen. And these words in Greek, he is risen, is in the passive voice, meaning not that he has risen, but that he has been raised. And this may seem like a really small detail, but oh, the difference it makes. Jesus didn't, Romans 8:11, raise himself from the dead. The Holy Spirit did, under the authority of the Father who sent the Spirit to raise the Son from the dead. Please understand this. At the cross, Jesus vindicated the Father as both the just and the justifier. That at the resurrection, the Father vindicated the Son as the truth. So at the cross, Jesus vindicated the Father. That God desires all to be saved, and for all time, through all humanity, the Father can pardon the sinner by pointing to his Son. He vindicated the Father, but at the resurrection, the Father then vindicates the Son as the truth. Because if you remember Good Friday's message, they lied about him constantly. And the Pharisee and the religious system of the day constantly attacked Jesus' character, constantly calling him a liar, calling him divisive. How dare you make these claims? Only the one who is God could make these claims. And at the resurrection, the Father vindicated the Son and proved everything Jesus said was the truth. That's what happened at the resurrection. The Father declared at the resurrection that Jesus is divine. That he is the way to the Father, that he is the Son of God, that he is God, all of it. All of it was vindicated and verified. End of argument. If this is true, and it is, there is no argument to be had before the risen Christ. And this ramification means for all of us, when we die and stand before the Lord of glory on the last day, we stand before the risen Christ. That's who this is. And either you are partaking of that risen resurrection or you've denied it. Loved ones, because Jesus rose from the tomb, since he alone conquered death, everything he ever said and is was the truth. And this is why we can build our life on the word. Amen. This is why the word of the Lord, we're told, remains forever. For the one who spoke it is and conquered death. And so all of these realities flood into the minds of the Marys as truth, and they run to their brothers. They run with both fear and joy. And then verses 9 and 10. Oh, it gets so good. That's so good. I know when I was typing this up the other day, I was really loud in the bedroom laughing and going, yes, it was... Sound like a lunatic. Well, you know I am. Verse 9. And behold, I giggled. Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Oh. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. I want you to see this. We're done our reading today. As they were running to Jesus, or to their brothers, Jesus sees them and says, greetings. Now, this Greek word used here for greetings, when used like this, both means hello and rejoice. That's what this means in the Greek. Hello, rejoice. And the Marys see the risen Christ, and they realize that he is the good news. And he has the good news. And they're so happy. It says they grab and cling and hung on to his feet. And remember, Jesus is standing, meaning what? They are on their bellies. They are on their face on the ground, hugging onto his feet. And please note, the Marys aren't just happy. They're declaring something. To get on your belly and hug somebody's feet, this is the kind of thing people did in antiquity for only kings, for royalty. And they look at the risen Christ and they recognize who he was. He alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Holy Lord of Glory. That's what this means. And then notice, after they respond to him as the king, then they respond to him as divinity and do what? They worship him. It says they worship him. When they see the risen Christ, everything about them declares that Jesus is both king and God. And for us, if you really believe this, if you really believe in the risen Christ, would this be us today? Would we cut it with all of the false humility and pride and backbiting and bitterness and jealousy and get on our faces before the Lord of Glory and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, I know my kids are driving me crazy. But you are my God and my King. Thank you. God, I had a terrible week, but you know that. Thank you. Would you declare this from this day forward with every fiber in your being that Jesus is both your King and your God, and that he commands your body and he commands your soul? Will you throw everything that you are at his feet and hang and hug on and worship and adore and cherish and sometimes laugh and cry, for he is risen? Like, if this is true, it changes everything. It changes everything about how you worship. It changes everything about how you speak. It changes everything about how you live. You fall on your face and say, I am unworthy. Thank you. For you are my King and you are my God. For Jesus is not just risen. You have to know this, loved ones. He's risen for you. The first thing the risen Christ says to his sisters is what? Greetings. Rejoice. We need to rejoice at this news. After all, it's not called the somber news. It's called the good news. It's the good news of great joy. And then what does he say? Do not be afraid. How many of you are fearful? Don't be afraid. And then go and tell my brothers. Jesus says, rejoice because they are now one with him as he is in the Father, as he prayed at the great high priestly prayer in John 17. But also Jesus says, rejoice because he has conquered death. Jesus says, do not be afraid because he has conquered death. Jesus says, go and tell my brothers because he has conquered death. Jesus doesn't just want us to rejoice because he is alive. He also wants us to rejoice because we will live. Do you see that? Because he is alive, and no matter what happens to us, death cannot keep you. Did you know that? Death cannot keep you. Death cannot keep those whose faith is in Jesus Christ as both God and King. It can't. It has no authority. Has none. We live because he lives. We have conquered the grave because he has conquered the grave. We have an eternity of rejoicing before us because Jesus secured it and the Spirit confirmed it. And the Father conferred it. He raised his Son as the truth so that we will be raised as sons and daughters in truth. Do you see this? The Father in Luke 9:35 said, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Oh, loved ones, let's listen to him today. Listen to what he's saying. Because if he did indeed rise again, he's the only one worth listening to. Which is why when I get here to preach to you, I try very hard to not give you any opinion. I give you the word of God. Because you don't need a young man's opinion. We got enough of those running around. We need the truth. We need to know what God has declared. Because he made it very clear, the resurrection is shouting to us today. Jesus has provided a way into heaven for every single one of us. But the only way into heaven is through the means that he has provided. The cross of Christ. If you try to get to heaven any other way, you will fail. If he rose again, he is the only way. We have to meet Christ at his cross. And then all who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We must believe in the Son and everything the Son says, for he alone is the way. For he alone is the truth, and he alone is the life. And so I want to encourage you today to put your faith into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and that through him and him alone is resurrection and new life. No one else can say rejoice in truth. No one else. There is no other way. The way to heaven is Christ plus nothing. If you hear someone say, well, you need to get to heaven by the cross and good works, it's a lie. You hear someone say, oh, the only way into heaven is the cross plus our morality. It's a lie. It's Christ plus nothing. Sola scriptura, because sola Christos, through the word declares through Christ alone. And on the day that when you die, if you have placed your soul and your trust into the means of salvation that God has provided his Son, Jesus Christ as both King and God, the Father will also have his Spirit resurrect you to new life. And you will meet Jesus Christ, your King and your God, in glory. And I think very similarly, one of the first things he's going to say to you is, hi. Don't be afraid. Friend, husband, brother. And I have a very strong feeling on that day. The hardest part as a pastor is knowing I can't ever adequately share this story with the power it deserves. It pains me, it does. And none of us appreciate the resurrection like we should. None of us. We're too fallen. But on that day, when we meet him, we will finally get it. And I have a very strong feeling when we meet the Lord in glory, we will know exactly who he is. And like our sisters in today's story, we will fall at his feet. And we will be on our faces before the Lord and hang on. And we will worship and sing. And like John in Revelation 1, he's going to pick us up. But I think that's what we're all going to do, because we're finally going to get his holiness and our unworth. Because we're going to fully understand with a much greater capacity than anyone alive ever has that he alone got us there. And that he alone is worthy, for he alone is both King and God. Amen. Let's pray. What a joy it is to know you. What a greater joy it is to be known by you. And what a greatest joy it is to be with you and know and be known by you for the rest of eternity. And God, that as our good shepherd, when you died and resurrected, it's telling every single one of us, he who puts their faith in the Son will die and resurrect. We just simply follow our good shepherd. For as the Spirit raised Christ, the Spirit will raise us, for we are sealed with that same Spirit, sent by the same Father, and covered by the same blood. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are our King, and you are our God. And we do not obey you like we should, and we do not worship you like we should. But you love us anyways. And so, God, grow us in faithfulness and obedience, and have us repent where we need to repent. Yes. And show us how you desired to be worshiped. And grow us in humility. Who is man that you would come and live and die for us and redeem our souls? You are so, so good to us. Help us to see it with a greater clarity now. God, knit your people together. Knit us together. The angel said it, you said it. As soon as you resurrected, go and tell your brothers. We are family here today. Let us be family. And we were family bought with a price. Help us to not take advantage or be in ignorance of that price. Grow us in love for you and adoration, and we offer all that we are before you. Here we are, Lord, send us and use us. And in your good name, in your good pleasure, we thank you that you are risen and you have risen for us. And in Jesus' name, all of God's saints who agree say, amen. I love you guys. Let's stand and worship.
Thanks for joining us for today's message from Calvary Baltimore. The Word of God transforms us, and we hope you've been blessed by today's teaching. Please keep in touch. Send us an email with your questions, prayer requests, or just to say hi. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is calvarychapelbaltimore@verizon.net, or give us a call at 410-574-7528. If you'd like to make a donation to support the work God is doing through Calvary Baltimore, go to calvarychapelbaltimore.org and click Donate Now. And if you're in the Baltimore area, stop by. For directions and service times, go to our website at calvarychapelbaltimore.org. Finally, if you're unable to come see us in person, we also live stream on our website and on our Facebook page. We hope you've been blessed by this week's teaching. Until next time, keep drawing closer to God through the reading of His Word. And join us again for the next Calvary Baltimore Sermon Podcast.